Today, my scripture is going to come from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you. And immediately, as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that's never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside the street. And as they were untying it, some bystanders said to them, what are you doing untying that colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. And as he sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others pulled down and spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. My message this morning is entitled "Jesus, Revolutionary Herald, Not King." Frequently I do open my Palm Sunday message saying that typically on this Sunday, in many churches, there is there's quite a bit of pomp and circumstance. Many have probably have had in the past, maybe not this Sunday, but processionals led by children waving palm branches, which admittedly is just a joyful sight. Ministers are talking about the large crowd that gathered and how Jesus rode into town on a donkey, just like the kings used to do. They talk about the shouts of Hosanna, about the kingship of Jesus, and how this was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the town where he would die as a sacrifice to save the world from its sins. What's odd about that is that much of it is actually the opposite of what's going on in this part of the Easter story. This part of the story is frequently called the triumphal entry, which admittedly, I find pretty funny. You see, I don't believe that Jesus's entry was triumphal. I actually kind of doubt there was even much of a crowd there that day, because if there had been, knowing how the Roman government operated, Jesus probably would have never made it another day alive, more or less another week. We have to think about the timing of all of this. Jesus and his followers, along with tons of other people, were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, which, as you probably know, is a Jewish celebration that remembers the story of how Moses led the people of Israel in escaping a repressive and enslaving government. Now, as you might imagine, Rome, actually being a repressive and enslaving government, well, they were somewhat leery about this kind of celebration. They certainly didn't want people to get any ideas about having yet another Exodus. So, if a large crowd had looked to Jesus as their new king, as is reported in shouts of blessed is the king. The Roman government would pretty likely have put a very quick end to him. And at the same time, even from a small crowd, the shouts of blessed is the king probably played a role in Jesus' untimely facing of corporal punishment. After all, that's why a sign reading King of the Jews hung with Jesus on the cross. That was his crime, blasphemy and sedition. So, triumphal entry, it's pretty humorous. It was anything but triumphal to me. The triumphal entry is a story about confronting the powers that be. So let me explain a little more. I can't help but see Jesus's entry into Jerusalem as anything other than a direct response to what would be Pontius Pilate's entry into the city sometime around the same time. Pilate's entry definitely would have had a more triumphal feel to it. As prefect, or basically governor, of the whole region, he would parade in through the city's large front gates on an impressive steed surrounded by Roman soldiers. And then Jesus, on the other hand, comes in through what is a small gate, a back gate even, riding a donkey. Not just a donkey, but a donkey that had never been ridden before, which was probably a pretty hilarious sight. And those around him, they weren't soldiers, but rather they were, well, everyday folks singing about peace. Palm Sunday, it's not a story of Jesus being recognized as the most powerful king of all. Palm Sunday is a story about confronting the powers that be. It really shouldn't be all that surprising to us. As I mentioned, the people were arriving to celebrate escaping out from under the heavy hand of Egypt, which is certainly a story of confronting and escaping the powers that be. So Jesus entering into the city humbly on a young donkey that had never been ridden, surrounded by a group of people singing a song about peace. And then in contrast, Pilate entering powerfully on a well-trained steed and surrounded by warriors. Palm Sunday is a story about confronting the powers that be. And Jesus' role in the story was that of revolutionary herald, not a king. Now, just in case we don't pick up on the, well, not so subtle context of the story, all but one of the gospel authors, all but one, follow this arrival into Jerusalem with a story that is, well, that's undeniably about confronting the powers that be. Now, keep in mind that the Roman government has upped its law enforcement game for this week of Passover. They don't want any chance of Passover inspiring an uprising, so they brought in extra forces, you know, to kind of quickly squash out even the first signs of trouble. Of particular interest to them is the temple. Now, it might seem counterintuitive at first, but you have to realize in those days, the government and religion had very close ties. The Pharisees and Sadducees weren't just the religious leaders. They were also the local government. And one of their big sources of income came from the sales that happened in the courtyard of the temple, and Passover was one of their biggest points of their season. Now, many of the people traveling to Jerusalem would want to make a sacrifice in the temple. Now, because of how far they would travel and how difficult that journey would probably be, it just wasn't always feasible for them to bring their own sacrifices, particularly those who already didn't possess much. So, the temple provides a place where they could purchase the appropriate sacrifice. The only thing was, being that the powers that be had a monopoly on the whole buy an appropriate sacrifice here thing, they took advantage of the people doing business with them, with the large majority of those people that are being taken advantage of being poor. On a week like Passover, the courtyard would have been particularly packed with people busily bustling around doing business. You can probably imagine, with all we've already talked about, that the Roman government was, well, they were very concerned about this particular area. So they actually visibly posted extra soldiers on top of the guard walls that surrounded the courtyard. Also, you can probably imagine that Jesus, who spent his life teaching about love, equality, and justice, was less than happy to see the temple using its position of power to take advantage of those who already have so little. So Jesus walked right into the temple under the watchful eye of all of those soldiers surrounding it and started flipping the money changers' tables, effectively disrupting their immediate ability to take advantage of those who already had so little. He took on the powers that be. If the world hadn't caught it in his teachings yet, he was establishing that he was here as a revolutionary herald, announcing the new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven on earth, where no one was lorded over, where all have what they need, and love and justice prevail. As I said, I doubt that the crowd was very big as Jesus entered the city bouncing around on a donkey that had never been ridden before. I do suspect, however, that the Roman government had probably heard about the crowd, big or large, that was shouting to Jesus, shouting that he was the king of the Jews. But that was, at that point, it was just kind of a sideshow. Nothing to be, you know, too overly concerned over. No real threat. Just be aware of it. But this in the courtyard? There would definitely have been a big crowd there. And there was no reason for any of them to report back to the government what had happened, because Jesus knowingly did it under the watchful eye of all the government's henchmen. Combined with the story of his entry into Jerusalem, that story and the story of the temple, I suspect that this was the beginning of the end of Jesus. This is where the powers that be began to recognize him as a viable threat to their power and began to conspire to rid themselves of this thorn in the side. These two stories together are a story of not only confronting the powers that be, but that they are the beginning of a reality check as to how far the powers that be will go to protect their status. And that's a story whose conclusion happens on Easter. or Good Friday. It's a story that continues to echo in the world today. We can look to the life of story of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and see it. We can even see it in our present day politics as a whole group of folks who are used to being privileged. All of them, they're installing draconian laws and dismissing delinquent behavior as they kind of begin to feel their relevance and power slipping away. Confronting the powers that be. That'd be dangerous work. And it should not be taken lightly. It can be unsettling, unnerving, and downright uncomfortable. The powers that be will not go down gently. They never do. They will use every single tool available to them. And in confronting them, we could be at risk. Risk of losing our good name, our freedom, and even, as we'll see on Easter, or the end of Holy Week, we even could be risking our lives. Yet we are morally obligated to confront them. Yes, we are called to do so nonviolently, but confront them we must, because they will not relinquish their power gently. We are called to continue the work of Jesus and confront the powers that be every time that they use their power to take advantage of the marginalized, malaligned, and mistreated. We, too, must be harbingers of the new world order where equality and love rule the day. You see, Palm Sunday is a story about confronting the powers that be. And Jesus' role in that story was not that of a king. Jesus was a revolutionary herald. Let's take a moment to reflect on the scripture and some of the thoughts that I've shared with you in some silence. Well, personal silence, but I'll be offering a prayer. As always, accept it the way is best for you. If you just want to be in the moment and meditate on your own, fine. You want to grab a few words that you hear and let them take you where you want. Or if you'd like to follow along with what I'm saying, please feel free to join in any way that's right for you. Let's bow our heads. Good and gracious God, it's easy to get caught up in the business of troubles and the business and troubles of our own lives. It's so easy that we forget we are called to be transformers for justice in this world. That there is so much pain, so much loneliness, so much sickness, so much loss, so much injustice in this world that it can sometimes seem like just the way things are. Let us never forget that creation contains the possibility of heaven on earth, a fellowship of humanity. Let us never forget that the teachings of Jesus, as well as the teachings of so many other great spiritual leaders, can lead us to a world where suffering is greatly reduced. And until that time, may we learn not only to confront injustices, but to conform to comfort those who suffer, and to be open to receiving comfort when we are the ones suffering. Amen.